What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. This is episode number 97. All right, today I want to take a little different angle or a different approach on kind of self-awareness. Some of the things that we gloss over maybe are going to be easier to see if we take it from the example of what our enemy would want. You'll get entirely what I'm talking about here momentarily. All right, also too, unfortunately, if you're listening to this as it is coming out, we are sold out again at crossomeats.com. But rest assured, we will be restocked probably within about the next week. So if you do want to get some of the most amazing mountain-raised premium beef, I would encourage you, go to crossomeats.com, join the subscription. You'll never have to worry about being sold out. You'll be taken care of every single month. All right, everybody, let's go ahead. Let's get started. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name is Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. What is up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Primal King Podcast. As always, I am super fired up to have you in for a solo week. So I want to talk with you today about what would your enemy wish upon you? So here's the deal. Right now, so let's do it this way. Because I don't want, I never try to like make anything political, but sometimes because everything is political now, I guess it maybe is. But I look at our country right now, and I sit there and I think, like, if I were an adversary or an enemy of our country, I'd probably be feeling pretty good about where we are, right? So, and I know we have listeners all around the world, but I'm obviously talking about the U.S. So if I were an adversary, maybe a Russia or China, whoever, that wants to be the world's number one dominant superpower, I would be looking at the U.S. being like, yeah, they're in a tailspin. Like they can't figure out which bathroom to use. They are completely polarized and divided on every issue, from, you know, racial issues to gender issues to like fiscal issues to religious and literally like just everything, right? So I'm not telling you this to bring you down. It's just I think if you're an observant person and you could look around at our current society, current culture, there's really not a whole lot that we can agree on. And so if I were an enemy of ours, I would look at that as great. Like we could actually win this war without firing a single shot, because no one's going to overtake us militarily. Like we could blow the world up hundreds of times with the weapons that we have before someone could literally like take us down. So I never worry about that. But if I were an enemy of the U.S., what I would hope is that we would just completely fracture from the inside, right? The way that every superpower has in the history. You know, most superpowers are not overtaken militarily. They're too strong. They're fractured. They're divided. They split up. And then maybe at that point, they're defeated militarily. But again, like I digress. So what would our enemies want us to do as a country? Well, our enemies, again, they would want us to be divided. They would want us to not agree on basic morals, principles, things like that. So it got me kind of thinking in my weird kind of twisted way of, okay, if we look at that like a country, what about as a person? Because here's the thing. We all have our own reality. Right? Doesn't necessarily mean we get to be entitled to our own facts or any of that, but we all have our own perception of reality. And so what happens most times is it's really hard for us to be self-aware. It's really hard for us to look at ourselves and be like, okay, I need to do this, or you know, this is where I'm lacking, or this is where I'm struggling. Like a lot of times it's almost like we kind of gloss it over. We're really good at doing it with other people. But when it comes to ourselves, so often it's like, nah, I'm pretty good, right? Like, maybe a little overweight, but I'm okay. Or, you know, I might not be making much money, but I'll figure it out. Like a lot of times, like we kind of gloss it over. And so here's what I would encourage you to do. If in fact, maybe you're in a space to where you're looking at wanting to improve yourself, I think a really, really good way is think of it this way. If you were to have an enemy, how would they wish you to be? How would they want you to feel? What would they want you to experience? Like, what would that enemy want of you? Now, I don't have any enemies. I literally can say that. Like, maybe people view me as an enemy. Like, I don't know that much. But, like, I don't look at someone as an enemy. But if I did, here's what I would want. I would want my enemy, if I was wanting their destruction, right? Their demise, right? Not their death, of course, right? But like if I wanted to see someone fail because they were my enemy, well, there's a few things that I would wish upon them. I would wish that they didn't feel very good, right? I would wish upon them fear, because fear is so crippling. I would wish upon them probably a lack of movement, right? Like a lack of like functionality with their body. I would look at them and I would wish that they were having hard times financially, maybe with their relationships. So here's what I want to do. I want to do a little exercise today because I think this is interesting. I want you to picture your own enemy. Picture someone being your enemy. They are your sworn enemy. They want your demise, right? Again, they don't want to murder you. They just want to see you struggle and they want to see you in misery. In certain religions, they call it Satan. Right? They call, I know a lot of Christians will talk about the enemy wants this. And I think mostly that's referred to as like Satan or dark spirits or whatever, right? Like depending on what philosophy, what religion you buy into, you know, it's the dark spirits, it's a force of average, it's Satan, it's demons, it's whatever. So term that whatever we want. Let's just, for the sake of ease, call it your enemy. So in this exercise, I want you to think, what would your enemy wish upon you? And then also, think about it this way. What is it that you feel like the enemy would be winning with if they were to look at you? Because here's why I think this is such a fascinating exercise. Like I said earlier, so many times we can gloss over our own ills or our own problems or our own issues, and it's really easy to do that, especially like in our distracted, kind of caffeinated world. Like we're always just go, 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 go. We don't do a lot of self-reflection or you know, maybe have time to really kind of take a look and be self-aware of what we do. We're all guilty of it, right? So if you could just take a second and think like, okay, this person is my sworn enemy. What would they wish upon me? And how much of that would they be winning on? So here's the two things, because I think that there's a lot of things that maybe you would wish upon your worst enemy as far as things to like keep them maybe from being successful. But there's two things for me to where if I looked at you and you were my enemy, there's two things that I would want. Number one is I would want you to be scared. I would want you to be in fear. Number two is I would want you to be kind of sick. And I don't mean like deathly ill or necessarily even like some major disease, but I wouldn't want you to feel good, because those are two things that I feel like can be absolutely paralyzing, crippling, right? They can hold you back from just about everything else. So the first one with fear, I'll tell you a little story. So it's kind of embarrassing, but hey, I always tell you guys, I'll tell you everything. So here goes. When I was younger and I was thinking about this, I was probably 8 or 9 years old. I bet you somewhere right in there. I remember there were like people talking about the world coming to an end. And like, I'd never even like had that consideration being a young kid. Like you don't think about the world coming to an end. And I don't even know if like where I heard it was like a real conversation or what, but I remember like all of a sudden thinking that like at any minute, the world was going to come to an end. And so again, it's kind of embarrassing looking back at it now. But I just remember like being young. I mean, probably 7, 8, maybe 9. I don't know. Yeah. Somewhere right in there. And so like, I was just like living in this constant state of fear. And it was like, you know, like a loud sound, like, you know, a jet would come too close. It's like, oh, yep, here we go. World's ending, like panic. And then the jet would go by and be like, oh, okay. World's not ending. Right. Or like something else would happen, you know, weird noise or loud boom or anything. Like I was just like fearful that the world was going to come to an end. And I remember like when I was going through that, and I don't have a lot of memories about that age, honestly, but I just remember thinking like at any minute, like it could all be over. And it was just like this constant fear. And so what it did is it distracted me from everything else, right? Like most kids are out there like playing, having fun, doing all this stuff. And I'm like sitting there worried, like the world's going to come to an end at any minute. And I mean, looking back, I was probably eating a bunch of sugar, drinking a bunch of Mountain Dew. I'm sure probably didn't help with kind of the anxiety or stress factor and all of that. But I guess that's a little side tangent. But anyways, but I remember just like living in this fear and thinking like at all times, like the world could come to an end. And I remember like how debilitating that can be. Like fear can be so debilitating if you're truly scared about something, right? Like there's different levels of fear. There's like the fear of getting struck by lightning. Like, yeah, that would suck. But we all kind of know like, okay, that's probably not going to happen. And then there's the fear of, like, I don't know, maybe getting cancer or something like that, right? Where like 50% of people anymore are going to be getting it in the next 20 years or whatever the stat is. And that's probably a more realistic fear. And if you think about that too much, it could absolutely paralyze you. It can make you question every decision you make and everything. Like it can be debilitating. And so again, like if I were your enemy, I would wish upon you fear. And now I think that this is why I've struggled so much in the last year and a half. And you can go back and listen to the podcast. Like I was this way pretty close after the whole COVID stuff broke out. Now, again, I'll say for the 5,000th time, like I'm not a COVID denier or an anti-vaxxer or any of this type of stuff. I hate all of those terms because I feel like they're put out there to minimize other people's opinions. But what I noticed right away was this mass amount of fear. And I know how crippling that really, really like deep fear can be. So that's why I've been like so much like, hey, if you're scared, stay home. But if you're not, like, go out, like, don't be fearful of things. Like, you know, be smart, be cautious, all those things. But like, we can't live in fear. It's debilitating, right? It'll crush your dreams, like that fear will. And so that would be the first thing I would wish upon somebody. So maybe you are someone who's living in fear, right? Like I would look at that as to where your enemy is winning. Like if you find yourself right now listening to this podcast, living in a constant state of fear, you have got to get out of it. Somehow, some way you have to do, if it's something that you can do research to alleviate the fear, if there's something that you can do with yourself or your body or education or whatever, like there's got to be a way for you to get out of that constant state of fear, because if not, your enemy is winning. And you may not even look at it that way, but hopefully now maybe you will. The second thing is just not feeling good. So I really, like, until I kind of started changing the way that I eat, I never realized like what feeling good would look like, right? Because over years and years and years of just eating bad and you know, maybe being lazy and things like that, you just kind of get used to feeling blah, right? It's again, it's not like, oh, you're sick to your stomach and oh, I feel so sick or, you know, something like that. It's just more of like, I wouldn't say that you're sick. It's more that you just don't feel good. And if you don't feel good, guess what else is likely to happen? Well, if you don't feel good, you probably have less motivation to go do stuff, to go to create stuff, to go build stuff, right? If you don't feel good, like a lot of those things are really hard to do. If you don't feel good, it's probably hard to be a, you know, like an engaged dad. It's probably hard to go out and, you know, play basketball with your kids after a long work day, or it's probably hard to have the energy to want to do much of anything because really like you don't feel great. And I realized for me, like how important that was, is just like feeling good, you know, having energy at 8 o'clock at night instead of sitting there in my chair being like, oh my gosh, like I'm just so wore out every single night, right? And again, like we all get tired and I don't think that that's like an irregular thing, but if that's a lifestyle of like you know, you get off work, you get home, you eat dinner, and by 7 o'clock you're sitting in your chair half asleep because you just don't feel good. So if I were your enemy, I would want you to be scared and I would want you to not feel great. Because if I can get you scared and I can get you to not feel very good, I can control you. I can own you. I can literally like own your soul. I believe that. If I can have you scared enough and I can have you sick enough, I can own you, right? Because then you're vulnerable. You're scared of everything, right? Like all you're doing is you're looking for someone to help you to get away from the fear. Like us human beings, we're pretty basic creatures, right? Like we want to avoid fear. We want to avoid pain. There's a reason why, you know, you see all these scare videos, and I'm kind of a weirdo and I like watching those. I think they're hilarious. But like the vast majority of people, when they get scared, you know, someone jumps out from behind a wall or something and scares them, what do? They always jump backwards, right? Very rarely do they jump toward what scared them. Why is that? It's a natural reaction to retreat from fear. Like it's a natural reaction. It's built into us. It's primal. Like we want to get away from the lion that's trying to eat us, right? Like we want to avoid the fear. We want to avoid the pain. So I can tell you a lot of things in that point when you're fearful that would maybe give you the impression that you're moving away from the pain. Therefore, I can control you. I can get you to do things that normally you would not have done if you weren't scared. Secondly, coming back to not feeling good. If I can have you scared and I can have you lazy and not feeling good and not being energetic, guess what? You're going to be a lot more passive. You're not going to be nearly as combative. You're not going to be as willing to stand up for what you believe in because you're just too damn tired. Let the other people deal with it, right? I'm tired. I got off work. I ate dinner. you know, everything's like just crazy at work and I'm tired and maybe I'm, you know, morbidly obese and that ties into it as well. Like whatever it is. And it's just like, I'm just too damn tired to deal with it. And so then what happens? Things get put off. Relationship problems get put off. You don't have the energy. You're too tired to deal with it, right? Kids aren't getting the attention that they need. They're not getting worked with because guess what? Like, I'm just too damn tired. I don't have time for it. Too tired. I just don't have the energy to be a good parent and to try to correct my kids if they're, you know, doing something wrong. It's just easier just to give them their phone and tell them to go to their room and just chill out. I'm tired, right? And we all do stuff like that. But is it a lifestyle? So here's what I want to get across on this episode today, guys, is that maybe sometimes we fall into this trap of maybe our self-awareness goes out the window a little bit and we've kind of drifted away and we haven't felt good for a long time, but we've just kind of gotten used to that. Or maybe we've been scared of everything and scared of making decisions and scared of so much that like over time we've just kind of gotten used to it and not used to liking the fear, but we've gotten almost so used to living in the fear that we're almost paralyzed to do anything. So we're less willing to quit a job and get a new job or you know, less willing to start a new business or go out there and do the stuff that I believe makes us great as a country, as a world for that matter, right? Like people being creative, living in their zone of genius, doing the stuff that they want to do, building businesses, building stuff. Like I'm a firm believer, and I don't think this has to necessarily be a business because a lot of jobs provide you this flexibility, but I'm a firm believer that we are ambitious creatures. We were not meant to go and sit in a cubicle all day and do mind-numbing paperwork and then come home and have a couple hours before we go to bed and turn around and do it all over again. I don't believe we're created for that. Like, I believe that we were built to go and build and explore and do, like, all of these again. Like, there's a reason why I call this the Primal King Podcast, right? Like, these primal things. Like as a kid, I don't know, maybe if you lived in the country, there was nothing cooler than going out and finding like this new property. Like I remember me and a couple of my buddies when we were kids, the river had gone down and it made kind of this natural little island. And we went out there and we stuck a flag in it and claimed it, right? Just kind of like you used to be able to do. But it was so much fun. It was adventure. It was exploring. It was like this whole new world, this island. We owned this island, right? Like there was just so much fun and adventure in it. But as you get older so often, you have that fear of doing anything. You have that fear of building and exploring and getting out and doing all these things. You have the fact that you don't feel good all the time, and so you never actually have the energy to do this stuff. Or if you do, it's in very short bursts. And so take the advice of your enemy. What would your enemy want you to be like? How would your enemy want you to feel? How would your enemy actually want to attack you? With what's the term, mechanisms maybe, or like what blows could they give to you? Well, my opinion is that they could give you fear and they could give you sickness, right? And again, not like terrible disease sickness necessarily, because that happens, but just the not feeling good, the, you know, like the old saying, like motion creates emotion, right? So if you're just sitting around all day at work and then you go home and sit around, like you probably don't have a lot of emotion. You probably don't have a lot of energy. You're probably not that much fun to be around. Probably not that much fun to be married to, right? You're not going anywhere. Like I believe, and ladies, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think women are attracted to men. And yes, I still use those two terms. So if you don't like it, probably the wrong podcast for you. But I believe that women are attracted to men who want to do stuff, that want to build stuff, that want to be creative, that want to explore, that want to conquer, that want to provide, like that want to do all these things. So men especially. Like if you're feeling just blah, you got to do something about it. And believe me, like I've spent most of my adult life feeling blah. And it wasn't until I actually started feeling good and like eating different and working out and making a serious commitment to it really over about the last year to where I was like, oh my gosh, like I forgot what it felt like to feel like the energy you have when you're 17, right? Like now, again, I'm like over twice that age. And so of course you may not have quite the energy of a 17-year-old, but you sure as hell don't have the energy of a 40, 50-year-old when you're 35 to 38, right? Like, there's things that we can do to fix this. So, I guess what I would ask of you is just to do this exercise and think, like, if someone hated me, what would they want my life to look like? Would they want it to be filled with joy and happiness and energy and exploration and building and all of that? Of course they wouldn't. Because they would know that most people are fulfilled when they're in those things, when they're in good relationships, when they're, you know, fulfilling their what they feel like is their life's purpose. Like when they're doing those things, it's very hard to beat those people, right? Like, I know a guy that's a business coach that talks a lot about momentum. And why is momentum so important? Just like in a basketball game, right? Like, you make one shot, and maybe you're down by 20. You make one shot, and then all of a sudden you make another shot. And then all of a sudden you start feeling like, oh, man, okay, we're going. Like, we got a little momentum behind us. And it's the same way in life. Like, I've noticed it so many times. You know, you start something up, and you get a little momentum. And then all of a sudden, it's really hard for you to be defeated in your business when you've got that momentum going, when you're feeling good, when you're doing all that type of stuff, right? It just completely changes everything about what is going on in your life. And so again, like, I would encourage you, take a step back and be like, am I living in a way that I'm easy to attack, right? That if I did have an enemy who wanted to wish these bad things, like, are they winning or am I winning? If you're not winning, I would encourage you, take some steps, figure out how to get over that. Right? If it's something to where you're just not feeling good, there's a ton of different things that you can do to feel better. I believe the first and most important one is to move your body, right? Like, after that, a lot of other things fall into place. But if you start moving your body, it could be a 5-minute walk that you start every day that turns into a 10-minute walk and eventually an hour long walk. And then maybe that leads into eating better. But if you're not feeling good, it's going to be really, really hard for you to have a fulfilled life. If you're living in fear over these different things, figure out how to confront that, how to get through it. If you're scared of some diagnosis, go get tested. Like, I don't know, do whatever you need to do to get over that fear. Because if you're living in fear, if you're feeling sick, if your life is in shambles constantly, your enemy is winning. Your enemy is winning. And in the game of life, like, we do not want to lose. I hate losing at checkers. There's no way in hell I'm going to lose in life. No way. So get out there, make sure you win, and do the exercise of, would your enemy be winning if they were to look at you and see how you are, how you're acting, the things that go through your brain, and if the enemy's winning, don't let it happen, guys. Do not let it happen. All right, everybody, I'll talk to you next week. Have an awesome weekend. Thanks again for all the support, all the downloads. Been having crazy amounts of downloads, which is awesome. It means the message is getting spread further and further and further. I appreciate it, and we'll talk to y'all next week.
I absolutely love having you as a listener of the Primal King podcast. If you don't want to miss out on the great content, then it's time to hit that subscribe button right now. Do not be left behind. And then share your thoughts and feedback with a written review of the show. I read every single one of these, and it helps me make sure I am serving you best. It also allows others to find this content, and it builds this community. Make it an awesome day, and we'll see you next time.